Dr. Sadlick, are you with us?
I'm back on the line. Okay. You, Bob 16, do you want to do a quick roll? Back.
Yes. Okay. Dr. Sadlick?
Here.
Dr. Popio?
Here.
Ms. Tibbetts?
Here.
Ms. Gallen?
Here.
Dr. Campbell?
Here.
Dr. Spatt is recused and Dr. Rubin is absent. We do have quorum.
Okay, let the minutes show that we're back into open session. It's 12:17. Any board member want to continue on from where we were last?
This is Dr. Popiel. I have a couple more questions.
Yes, sir.
All right. Dr. Porter, in the phone call that was recorded that you had with Dr. Kiefer, she brought up, I'll just read it, well, you know, I haven't seen her for anything but aesthetics for a while, so you know how I am, legal girl, I want to stay legal to keep my license. You didn't really say anything to the otherwise on that. Would you say that she had really only seen JP for aesthetic issues for quite some time?
Oh, no. My wife certainly sought treatment, aesthetic, and that been her initial relationship with Dr. Kiefer. But over the years, Dr. Kiefer became a physician that dealt and treated a lot of different things. She considered her to be, again, I'm her husband, and I did what I can do, but she considered her one of her primary care doctors, and she supported or, let me say, shared and everything that was going on with her. So Dr. Kiefer was not in the dark about my wife's health problems, and understand that it is really hard to really, really share or help you to appreciate that. With Dr. Kiefer on a regular basis about my wife's health problems more than any other doctor, even her specialist, because I only saw the specialist ever so often, but Dr. Kiefer I saw regularly, and in the session, she helped me to figure out, hey, we should do this, we should do that, we can try this. These were ongoing discussions. This was not like I barely knew Dr. Kiefer or saw her, you know, once in a while. We saw each other on a regular basis, and she was always intimately involved in my wife's care, which makes this all around even so shocking.
Understood. One other question I have for you. I wasn't clear. You commented on somehow, I believe, your explanation as far as why you, in this phone call conversation, admitted to using her DEA to prescribe medications. What was, you were saying somehow your rationale was that you were trying to protect her? I wasn't clear as to what your explanation was for why in this phone call you admitted to using her DEA to prescribe certain medications. What was your explanation for that?
In reality, to me, this was just a conversation. I have, at this point in the conversation, I have no idea in the absence of charting for my wife by Dr. Kiefer. I have no idea that she's claimed I have prescribed every prescription that my wife has that wasn't charted by Dr. Kiefer, which is up to 40 prescriptions or so, that, and this is what Dr. Kiefer's questioning or her intentions are when she's talking to me. I remember I had called her out of concern because I thought she was being investigated. I called her because I thought, this isn't going to look good because you're missing information. And we're having a conversation. She says to me, how did this happen? I don't really know. To me, it's like, did you talk to people? Well, I do recall giving my staff a request to fill a script for my wife, but it was always under the fact that they were to speak with, or I had spoken directly with Kiefer that day, but there was always this communication involved. I didn't feel any need to justify other than, yeah, I talked to people, but the idea that Kiefer is coming from based on her knowledge at the moment is, hey, Dr. Porter, I think you prescribed all these medications without me knowing behind my back. And I have no idea that that's what the intent of her question is. Again, I'm just talking and trying to say, I don't know. Until we looked at all the records did I realize what had happened and what she was saying by that question. And again, it looks incriminating, but in the reality is I have no idea what the question she's even asking. And even to hold me, for example, responsible for an answer to a question that's actually not even really the question that everybody's answering. So the board or DPS has suggested by my answer to that question that I did admit giving and acknowledging or requesting that my staff use Kiefer's DA number. That's not what that question was about. Unless you ask me directly, did you knowingly prescribe and use Dr. Kiefer's DA in the way that we're describing, then I would have been able to say, no, are you kidding? This is not how it happened.
I appreciate that. I guess my gut instinct is that is a response to a question that is you answering in a completely unfiltered manner that is not thinking about, you know, oh shit, I'm under legal, I'm sorry for cursing, I'm under legal, you know, legal jeopardy here. It just seems like that would be the most truthful answer because you're not having any filters on it. And I understand your perspective on it and saying that now. I'm just giving you my perspective on kind of how that would come across and why somebody may feel that way.
I understand, and Chairman Popiel, let me say this. I have no ill intent and have no idea that anybody would ever do this to anybody. And so when people are asking me a question, to me, it's a fairly innocent question. I have no idea that there's ill intent. I have no idea that, you know, even that I'm worried about breaking the law. You know, I have no idea. And so to me, I'm just having a conversation with her. And I don't know that she's, by this question, suggesting that I'm doing this. I have no clue. I'm as naive as anybody's ever been. And until I was indicted or in 2020 and I got the documents telling me what happened, I was in complete shock that this is what people are saying. But I had no idea. And so I'm just trying to go through and answer a question. And again, I'm telling you at this point, I'm as naive as anybody ever could be. And so I'm like, I don't know, maybe. But again, if we really want to answer those questions, we have to go back and look at everything. And that's not what we were doing. We were just talking. And again, I get it.
Gotcha.
And that's the reason we're all here, because apparently that phone call is the thing that triggers everything. Yeah. And again, I regret ever even worried about Kiefer. I should never have called her. Let her just deal with her thing, because it wasn't really her thing. It was obviously at that time my thing. But I have no clue.
Gotcha. Thank you for answering that. I appreciate it.
Does anyone have any more questions for Dr. Porter? Let me go.
I have a quick question. And I'm kind of worried, but my power went out, but my computer is still on here. So I'm going to try to find in the investigation, the different, if someone has it already, I'm having a hard time with my computer here. I would like to know the specific things that we are addressing today. I mean, like we've been kind of all over the board with a lot of different things, and BPS has been talked about, but the state statute that we are considering today, I'm looking for it and I'm not finding it.
So I have it in front of me. Once you get your computer back up, to make sure that you can correct me, it'd be ARS 32-1501 in brackets 31.
Okay, is that where it says, and then under that, BPRS, TV, and VV?
Yeah, BPRSTB, and then Delta, 2B. Let me ask Mr. Larson and Ms. Anthony if there was anything else that we're missing on that.
No, members of the board, I'm looking at the investigative report right now, and that's what I'm seeing as well.
Okay. Thank you. So the potential violations are what Ms. Anthony came up with, and that was ARS 32-15-01-31.
Okay, and the charts are right above that, so I'm in the right document. Oh, good. I still have a little bit of power. It's really not very funny for me right now because it's going to get warm really fast. If no one has any other questions, I guess I would like to ask Dr. Porter, specific to what Ms. Anthony read with the allegations, are there any that you agree happened the way she presented it? Are there any that you believe that you were wrong about?
I'll try to answer this in the way that I think the question is. I absolutely acknowledge that I failed in keeping adequate medical records in regards to physical exams. I do acknowledge that I did prescribe my wife controlled medication in 2019. I think that's it. Is there, again, I'm trying to remember all those, but I think those are the two. I think everybody else I've commented on.
Okay, thank you.
And as we try to wrap, Dr. Campbell, can I drop down to you for final comments or for ideas?
I believe at this time the consensus is that that the board would be remiss in addressing in completion Dr. Kiefer's allegations until the criminal investigation comes to disposition. And so I think the secondary findings we've outlined and talked about should be first. And so if you'd like, we can essentially identify exactly which statutes we believe fall under those secondary concerns and move forward with voting those.
Do you feel as though we could move to, and this is Dr. Papil and board members do feel, as though at this point we could move to a consent agreement?
Yes.
Okay. And do you feel as though we could basically just move forward to a consent agreement based on the facts, findings, and conclusions of law per the IR investigative report?
That's correct.
Okay. And let me run through board members if there's anything else we would want to move on in terms of put into the consent agreement loosely and allow board staff and Mr. Larson to craft for us.
Mr. Chair, members of the board, this is Justin Larson, the Attorney General's office. I just wanted to make sure that the board members don't have any additional questions for Dr. Porter or his counsel, because I just want to make sure we're sort of going through the stages correctly. Are we moving into deliberations now, or or does anybody have any further questions?
Thank you. Anyone have any more further questions for Dr. Porter or for Mr. McDowell, his legal representative?
I do not.
Okay. So let me run through my list real quick and make sure that we're getting everyone in there. Ms. Tippett, let me duck down to you real quick.
I don't have any more questions.
Okay. And Ms. Gallon?
I don't either.
Dr. Campbell?
Nothing further.
Sorry, I barely heard you. You said you were good?
Yes, sir. Nothing further.
Okay. So, does the board feel as though we could move to a consent agreement at this current point?
I think we need some deliberation first.
Okay.
I would like to ask the other physicians on the board.
I'm sorry, Mr. Chair, members of the board, this is Justin Larson again at the Attorney General's office. Before you go into deliberation, I think it might be prudent to allow the Dr. Porter or his counsel to make a brief closing statement.
Mr. McDowell, do you want to do that, or Dr. Porter would you like to do that?
Well, let me just add a couple of thoughts that I would like to make, and I appreciate your investigation and your inquiry. I think you've asked extremely thoughtful questions. I particularly agree with the suggestion that there is a charge that's pending in court. Obviously, if that charge ever resulted in a conviction, we would be back. It's our position that he's innocent of that charge. We are going to be fighting that tooth and nail. For the board's consideration, my experience, and I've been doing criminal defense for 35 years plus, the typical case where I've represented doctors are people that are sending scripts to addicts that have no medical logic or purpose. This is a case where it was for his wife. He was going through a protocol with the doctor that he's worked with that his wife has seen for years, even before she went with this practice. And I think given the fact that there was literally one patient, his wife, who had legitimate, verifiable medical issues, justifies that this wasn't an instance of somebody abusing. This has been a great wake-up lesson to me. I have advised the doctor as a practice in the future. When you're doing scripts, instruct the staff to get something signed or to get it documented rather than go by word of mouth. This has been a great eye-opener. As to the strength of the investigation, the part that truly blows me away was that nobody within that office was interviewed. We had 10 different witnesses who, through documentation or testimony or affidavits, have testified that they would go to Dr. Kiefer first to get permission before they would write the scripts. And so, by and large, one of the reasons that we had the polygraph, Del Salazar, it was with DEA, has done polygraphs all over the world. He asked him specifically on these questions, and then Dr. Porter passed each and every question, that he wasn't writing scripts for his wife, that he wasn't using a DEA number. And the lesson learned is that whenever staff does it, add one element to the protocol, get some kind of a documentation showing that that's happening so you don't get blindsided, as happened in this case in the future. The last point I'd like to make is on the tape-recorded statement, and I've learned over the years, in the 50-plus years I've been doing this, Gary Stewart, a brilliant lawyer, wrote a book on it, what he called false confessions, where people are tricked into or deluded into making statements which on their face may seem to be incriminating, but in fact are not. Given the context of this whole situation where he's reaching out because he's worried about Dr. Kieffer, and he's dealing with an agent who in the report says he wants to go after my client, Dr. Porter, and see him lose his license, there was no clue that this was going on. I think Dr. Porter would be more than happy to consider suggestions or recommendations to the board. I'm making some, but I would suggest to you that there is clearly, at this stage, given the overwhelming record we've given you, sworn affidavits from six people, documentation from four others that we haven't been able to document. We went out and interviewed the people that DPS did not take the time to interview to corroborate what Dr. Porter's saying. Thank you very much.
Thank you, ma'am. This is Dr. Jason Porter. I have nothing further to add at this time.
Hello? Are we still connected? I got disconnected once, so I want to make sure we're on.
I can hear
you. Mel, I hear
you. I can hear you. Dr. Sadlick, are you with us?
Yeah.
Oh, okay. So I believe that the board is now into the deliberations. So this is not the time to hear additional testimony or questions from the licensee and our counsel.
Gail, this is Dr. Opiel. I don't think Dr. Sadlick is on. I thought Dr. Sadlick said, yeah, I'm here.
Dr. Sadlick? Dr. Sadlick?
Yeah, for some reason the call dropped off. I'm back. Mr. McDonald, were you done speaking?
Yes, I was done, and Dr. Porter didn't add anything further.
Okay. Before we try to conclude, does anyone have anything else they'd like to add? I'd like to go back to making a motion to move to a consent agreement on case number 20-168. And basically based on ARS
32-15-0131. Dr. Popiel, is there any other deliberations? I know Ms. Tibbetts, you had mentioned you had a question for the board members.
Yes, for the physicians, I just wanted to ask you about the charting part. Is there some background noise? Can you hear me?
Yeah,
I can hear you.
Oh, okay. One of the things that Dr. Porter said was that he did acknowledge the charting issues, but I just wanted to hear from the physicians what you saw as the most critical part of those charting issues.
Dr. Field, do you want
to start?
Well, yeah, I think my recollection was the lack of physical exams, and I know that Dr. Porter commented on that, is, you know, whether or not the physical exam was done and or whether or not it was charted, because it wasn't charted, so he was commenting, I believe, that the physical exam was done for the most part, and that the physical exams were more in-depth than what were necessarily charted, but due to time restrictions, et cetera, of running a busy practice, that things didn't always get charted adequately. That was my recollection of the chart note issues.
Okay, thank you.
I would concur with that. The biggest problem is, especially if you're writing a prescription, a C3, that you have a physical exam and then you have the assessment and then the plan of why you're writing that particular prescription. So I would agree with what was stated.
And I think, this is Dr. Wolfgang again, I think my other concern, and I know Dr. Porter commented on this, I think back in February, was just the prescribing habits of writing a controlled substance, whether it's Xanax or some of the other medications, and giving 5-6 month refills or maximum amount of refills on them. I definitely have concerns with that, regardless of the patient's status as far as, you know, their health concerns, et cetera. It would allow a patient to continue with treating themselves if they were not even seeing the physician for upwards of 6 months. And I don't think that's a great idea, especially with controlled substances, fentanyl, et cetera. There needs to be follow-up appointments, physical exams, blood pressure checks, et cetera, that when there are 6 months worth of refills, that puts it on the office essentially to follow up with the patient, to force them to come in. You know, I find that if you give patients refills, they're typically not coming back until the refills are done. So I would say that would be a big concern I have, as well as some of the prescribing habits that were outlined initially in this case.
Dr. Campbell, your thoughts on it?
I concur with what was just said. I think that, you know, the documentation aspect is critical, and we should address that as a board. And we need to also address the prescribing out of scope as well.
So where are we at, board members? Can we move to summary consent agreement? And does anyone have different draft language or anything else they'd like to add?
This is Dr. Popiel. I agree with kind of the idea that I feel like we have to make a decision on the issues at hand. I feel like as far as the bigger outlining or outstanding question of prescribing under Dr. Kiefer's DEA, I'm struggling because I find both parties make compelling arguments and detailed arguments as to why their side is correct. I'm struggling with the he said, she said of where that finally boils down to, and I'm struggling to the idea that we would have to make a decision on that today prior to the outcome of the legal cases. So my impression would be we move forward with prescribing out of practice, out of scope, prescribing to family members, inadequate chart notes. Those would be kind of the three things that I would say we move on today.
Okay. Yeah, I concur. Board members, as we try to draft this consent agreement, anything else that we want to add to it? I did make the motion for that basically the violation ARS 3215-01-31, B through VV. And did we want to craft anything else for Ms. Anthony and Mr. Larson to start working with?
Mr. Chair, members of the board, this is Dustin Larson. Just to clarify the motion, so Dr. Sadlick, my understanding is your motion is to continue the formal interview to a later meeting, and in the meantime to have direct staff to draft a consent agreement with findings of fact and conclusions of law consistent with the investigative report?
Yes, sir. That was my motion.
And this is Dr. Bopiel, and with that motion, I think we need to outline, obviously, what are the ramifications? What are we thinking regarding probation? What are we thinking regarding prescriptive ability moving forward, as well as any sort of review of chart notes in the future for assessment of kind of following through on the guidelines we're concerned about?
Well, were you thinking then perhaps, since the issue happens to be with C2s, were you thinking of, and there were some C3s that were involved too, were you thinking of perhaps then suspension of C2s and portions of C3s as part of the consent?
It's a consideration. I understand the position that he was in trying to help his wife, but I also am surprised that, you know, I mean, pretty much from day one of medical school, I remember, at least from my expectations or my education, was there's really no situation in which you prescribe controlled substances to family members. It's even kind of a gray area for any prescription. But, you know, as far as controlled substances to family members and the fact that it definitely occurred over, you know, a long period of time, it wasn't a one-time prescription, that's a concern. I also know that based on at least the chart notes that we've seen for Dr. Porter, that it would appear that writing a decent number of those controlled substances seems to be a large percentage of his practice. So I'm concerned with the impact of restricting his prescribing. I'm concerned what impact that would have on his current patients, how quickly that would require, you know, other doctors to intervene. Obviously, there is another doctor in his office that can take over that. But I also, you know, I also don't want to, you know, impact his livelihood dramatically, but I'm also concerned with his prescribing habits. So I'm sorry that's not coming to a conclusion, but those are my concerns.
Okay.
I have a procedural question, and I'm not sure if that means that I need to request to go to executive session or not.
It might be easier just to go to executive, if that would be easier.
I guess it stems from being a little less familiar with the formal interview process and the options that are available after deliberation. So I don't know if that's something that can be addressed in open or it needs to be for legal advice in executive session.
Why don't you make the motion, and Mike, and I think I know where you're heading, so I'll second it and to move it for legal advice into executive session.
And so, Ms. Tibbetts, you made a motion to go into executive session for legal advice. Dr. Sadlick, you seconded
yes.
it? Okay.
Yes.
Roll call, please. Dr. Sadlick?
Aye.
Dr. Popeo?
Aye.
Ms. Tibbetts?
Aye.
Ms. Gallen?
Aye.
Dr. Campbell?
Aye.
Dr. Spatt is recused and Dr. Rubin is absent. Motion carries.
Okay, we will meet in executive session. No, it's both.